It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room.
Hello and welcome to the Lookout Landing podcast. My name is John Troopin, and I am joined today, as always, by our managing editor and fearless leader, Kate Prusser. Kate, I know you've been stress watching Marco Gonzalez for the majority of this evening. How are you doing otherwise?
I'm good. You were driving tonight. I have a cocktail. I have a plate of dumplings that I made in celebration of Din Tai Fung coming to Safeco, which I now ate. I ate it. I went there with my friends Whitney and Mike. We went to Din Tai Fung over in U Village the other night, and I have the soup dumplings, and they were good. People do not lie about their quality. But now, apparently they will not be at Safeco, so...
I've seen in the photos dumplings that are in soup. Is it just they are not the dumpling, they are not the actual soup dumplings?
No, the soup dumplings are very delicate, so maybe that is why they cannot be served.
Okay.
They have actual soup inside of them.
So Okay, there we go. That's my misunderstanding. So the dumplings you're enjoying right now are not of the Din Tai Fung variety.
No, they're of the Costco variety.
Hey.
But, you know how it is when you try something new for the first time and you're like, that is all the food I want to eat anymore ever.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, that's sort of where I'm just dreaming of the next opportunity I have to go to Din Tai Fung.
So, I mentioned this to you, but I will say this again. Czar Dumplings, which is on Capitol Hill, and also has a spot in Fremont, which does pelmeni, like Russian dumplings, is absolutely fantastic and worth checking out. And I know this mainly because when I was at Sasquatch 1 year, that was the only food that we were able to get, and I ate it essentially exclusively for an entire weekend, and was about 85% dumpling by the end of it, and so they have my loyalty eternally. Yes.
Ooh, Marco just made a nice play.
Excellent.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, he's so athletic. Yeah, are you watching it? Yeah.
I am. We're recording this on Thursday night. I guess it's the fifth inning now of the Mariners game.
Yeah, Marco has 77 pitches, which with one out in the fifth, which is not ideal.
No, you'd rather it was fewer.
He had a real brutal first inning.
Yeah.
And a less brutal but still shaky second inning, and then just really locked down in the third. And
yes.
Had a pretty good fourth, and now is in the fifth with not having to throw too many. That I honestly, and I tweeted this, but I think that this is the kind of outing that tells you more about a pitcher. Because Marco does not have his command, and also this zone is wonky. Have you noticed this? Like,
it has been.
He's thrown the same pitch two times and gotten two different calls on it.
Yeah, it's been an adventurous zone. It's been a zone with personality.
It's an idiosyncratic little zone. It's a like a female comic in her 50s, like
sort of a Joan Rivers.
Yeah, like somebody who has gotten by, not maybe necessarily on her looks anymore. And you know, usually once you're an older woman in the Hollywood, you are persona non grata, but I have mad respect for the women who like hang in there. That's the zone. It's a Joan Rivers zone.
It's a zone that's hanging in.
It's a Joan Rivers zone. That might be the weirdest combination. Like I said, cocktail.
I was going to say, last week I think I made some sort of bone broth analogy that I can't remember.
That was super weird.
And now you've made the Joan Rivers zone. So
yeah,
this is
we're all
on point right now.
It's the off season.
It
still,
is the off season,
kind of.
But it is almost not the off season.
It is almost
very
not
excitingly.
The off season. It's actually really, as stressed out as I am watching Marco pitch, because he's such a huge part of the plans, and because I want so badly for it. I want Marco Gonzalez to be good in the same way that, like, 2 years ago I wanted Mike Zunino to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and maybe more, because I think I'm honestly a little more invested in Marco as a person, just because, you know, he's not a Seattle native, but I feel like we can kind of claim him. Oh, good. He got a flat. Nice inning. Nice inning, Marco. Good work. You know, I think he kind of feels like ours a little bit. Like, he's a Zag. I am heavily invested in his success on a personal level, and also for the team. So
yeah, and the team has stressful. Very much invested themselves in Marco Gonzalez's success.
So it's stressful, but it's also really fun to watch a game that, you know, it doesn't matter, but it feels like it matters. So.
Yeah. Well, and the roster is so full of players who it's like, we pretty much know what you are, you just have to actually go out there and do it.
Right.
Marco is one of those guys where it's like, you could actually be more than we expect, and
Marco,
you're still seeing something.
Marco plus the cutter is, I don't, you know that I don't know the Pokemon, or I don't play the Pokemon, but is this equivalent to a Pokemon becoming, I don't know, whatever it is when they, like, go to college and get woke.
When the
when the Pokemon gets woke.
Evolve, I believe, is the word you're looking for. Or simply learn a new move.
Yeah, I mean, that's Marco is the, he's the Waikindi, where he used to be a wax tutor, or whatever.
Now, those were Pokemon. To be clear, you could just kind of say a word about that's related to fire, and then, like, a word that sounds like the end of an animal, like sore or like ender or something, and you'd have a pretty good shot at this point of getting a Pokemon.
Pyrodrosophilia. Eh?
Well, there is a Pokemon called Pyroar, so, and it's a little fire lion, so. I'm not joking. You're not far off. Anyways. Kate, what we're gonna do today? Since I think there's only a little bit of real news at this point. You know, for the most part, everyone's getting back to being healthy, or if they weren't gonna be healthy, they're, you know, are ready for opening day. Then they're still not gonna be ready for opening day. So what we're going to do is, I think we're just going to go down a couple different pathways that we could see the season going down. Sort of your darkest timeline, your brightest timeline, and then, I guess, your likeliest timeline. Before that, I think just real quickly, we should touch on the one piece of news that
and
is very unfortunate.
It is bad news.
And it is
bad
news.
Bad news. Maybe it's bad news.
Our
I don't
Mariners
like
reliever.
You, pitchers who come from Florida teams. As
yeah,
Rilo Kiley's, like, lesser known hit.
Now, is Rilo Kiley evolve into Rilo Ken?
What? We have a disconnect here.
We're talking about David Phelps tearing his UCL.
Can we talk about Taylor Motter striking out looking?
Well, we can't, because, again, your video is,
right,
like,
I'm
a
sorry.
Few seconds ahead
sorry.
Of me, so it's very rude.
Oh, man. It's very rude. I'm sorry.
Indeed.
All right. Let's talk about David Phelps.
So you wrote up a full appraisal of the bullpen and its depth today, and
2,800 words.
Yeah,
if you actually read it, I am impressed.
So where does this leave the team right off the bat, and where does this set them up for the rest of the year? Because I think it's safe to say Phelps is not going to throw a pitch this year.
No.
And he's a free agent at the end of this year.
It's true. Okay, so obviously this is sucky news. It's very sad. there's really no way to, I think as DePoto said, sugarcoat it, except to me, like when Drew Smiley went down with the arm sog, I distinctly remember climbing into my bathtub because I was going to take a bath, because that's what I do when I'm stressed out or unhappy. And just like sitting there kind of pressed against the tiles for a little while being mm-hmm. like, this is bad. This is so bad. I feel really, really bad about how this positions us.
Yes.
So, I mean, maybe I'm working from a super low bar here. but I didn't have that reaction. Like, I did, it did feel like a little bit of a punch to the gut just because mm-hmm. it sucks so bad for Phelps, who, you know, had the health troubles last year. And you just, he didn't ever look, I think, totally right in spring training. It looked not great. It looked not great to me. So that sucks, but, and I pointed this out on Twitter, if there's one area that the Mariners could have afforded this loss, it's the bullpen. Like, yeah. you cannot lose anyone out of the infield for the year, because mm-hmm. we've seen what the infield backup options are, and they're not good. You can't really, and we already have Gamble, you can't lose anyone else out of that outfield,
mm-hmm.
and we certainly can't lose any of the starting pitchers for a full year, so
right.
if there had to be a play, and it sucks that it happened, and it doesn't happen to every team, but, you know, you look around the league and you see a lot of guys are going, Smarja has some problem with his shoulder, like.
Yeah,
he's going in for an MRI. The A's lost Cotton for the year.
And Blackburn now is
oh gone yeah, Blackburn
too,
has
so.
Got some sog. you know, I mean, it happens. It happens. Pitchers break. So if there had to be an injury, it sucks. But it's also like this is the one. Yeah, it sucks. But also we signed Juan Nicasio over the offseason, and Juan Nicasio does have the ability to stretch into that multi-inning reliever. And Casey Lawrence has kind of come out of nowhere mm-hmm. and been like, Anna Schmidtics, to like, oh, hey, actually, studying these things could make me a better pitcher, and I can
right.
I can start to employ these. And it's just amazing. I mean, I know that the analytics war has been conquered on our end of things for a long time, but it's still... when you're dealing with players, especially players who are in their 30s,
mm-hmm.
You're dealing with a lot of people who haven't necessarily given themselves over to the gospel of advanced stats.
And that point is an interesting one, because I know you and I both read the piece in the San Francisco Chronicle today about Emilio Pagan, and... I know you
Ugh,
wrote
I miss
it.
You, Emilio.
Yeah, and I know you wrote about Ryan Garten, who the Mariners picked up from the Rays last year,
yes,
and
recently,
is in the minors still.
Recent driveline convert.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, Altavilla, Moore. I mean, you know, I think these guys who have made these strides forward. You know, these guys who are making these efforts to, you know, Sean Armstrong.
Yep,
these are guys who...
Armstrong's a driveline boy. Festa,
you know,
is now, which I
yeah.
don't know that he was before. He's a driveline guy.
Yeah, and I think the interesting connective tissue is it's tough for... it's rare to see players who have elite talent do things that, you know, you might see as... outside of the box, I guess. It's sort of, you know, sort of in the way it's rare to see baseball teams, you know, full teams that are, you know, teams that have elite players. You know, I think there's an argument about, like, oh, well, the best teams in the league are still using, you know, five-man starting pitchers and having their starting pitchers going deep in the game. It's like, yeah, they're doing that because they have elite starting pitchers, and so they can do it. That doesn't mean that across the board... teams, you know, the worst teams, the teams that have to scrape by and find a way to make it work, aren't going to use different strategies, more unique strategies. And it's the same thing with individual players. You know, when you're on the bubble, when you're sort of a fringy player and you see that your shot at continued employment and your continued, you know, continued success is, you know, very fleeting and very much at risk, you know, I think those are the guys who are willing to push the envelope, and we see that in a lot, you know, the Mariners, I think, have collected, for better or for worse, a lot of guys who were on the edge of that envelope, and so...
Yeah, I mean, I think that what they've done, too, I'm watching Chazen Bradford pitch right now, which is why he's in my mind. They've collected guys who are cast-offs from other organizations, and I think that the kind of uber mensch for this, or the prototype for this, is Nick Vincent. They got him for nothing off the Padres, because they were like, we can work with your spin rate and develop you into being the best pitcher you can be.
Yes.
And we believe that that's going to be someone who's really good.
Yes.
Right? So, Chazen Bradford, cut by the Mets, who I don't understand how you're... Maybe they... I don't want to believe...
There's a lot of... You could just say, I don't understand, and end the sentence. You know, begin the sentence, Mets, comma,
and
I don't understand.
I don't understand it, and end the sentence
and I
there.
Think
I mean, I hate to dump on a team, and maybe they thought, I mean, maybe their biggest sin was just misreading the market and thinking that they could sneak an MLB experienced pitcher with decent results.
Yeah.
Fastball slider combo. I'm just watching him strike out Tommy Joseph. No, there's no way the Mets look good in this, and it sucks. I sat next to Chazen Bradford's uncle at one of the spring training games, and like, it was hard. He loved the Mets. He loved being a New York Met. He was shocked when he was cut. Mets fans were shocked when he was cut. It makes no good sense, and here he is, you know, potentially poised to break camp as one of our relievers now that Phelps has gone down. But again, that's a case of, like, they saw something that they were like, we can maximize what you can do. And I think anytime a player, and again, especially somebody, like you were saying, somebody who's been cut, somebody who's fringy, somebody whose major league spot is not guaranteed, those guys are going to be receptive to teaching. And I think when Garton got here, he saw, I mean, imagine being Ryan Garton and sharing a bullpen with Dan Altavilla, which he did when he first got here. They were both in Tacoma. And seeing a guy like Altavilla and being like, how can I also be you? And just got really sold on the gospel of Driveline, like really was impressed with what he saw there. Oh, very nice inning for Chazen Bradford. And, you know, results matter. If you can get a guy, the hardest part is getting a guy to try something once. Because change is hard, right? Like,
yeah.
And what makes us change? We have to feel there's a need to change. And I think Casey Lawrence was maybe in that spot. He's fringy, he's inside looking out, he's close enough to the majors. So I think there's also a proximity element in change. Like, you have to feel like change is necessary, but also like making this change is you're close enough that it doesn't, that the investment or the sacrifice that the change will cost you is worth it. And I just feel like they've done and I think like mentally you have to be a resilient person, because when you're afraid of change, you just, that's weakness, that's cowardice, right? So it's identifying the right player with the right stuff, with the right makeup, who's going to undergo this change with you. And I think that the front office has done a great job of picking those guys out, and that's why I'm not so... And especially because I think a relief pitcher is the easiest thing to develop. Like, you know, that... You can put in the least amount of time with a guy like that and get the results the fastest. It's not like developing a starting pitcher. It's not like developing an everyday position player. And that's, I think, why we're seeing these early returns. I think we'll see other returns eventually with other guys, but those will take longer. The ones we're seeing now are mostly in the relief corps. And that's why I'm not 100% I'm sick for David Phelps, the person, but I'm less stressed out about this impact on our bullpen.
Yeah, it will. It's a bummer for the depth, and it's a bummer for their intent to really lean on the bullpen to give a break to the starting pitchers. And I think it probably won't be that impactful for the start of the season, but I think it just it's another level of stress on the bullpen and the starting pitching to be right and to be healthy early right. And hence often.
Hence me stress watching this Marco Ventura yes. start.
Yes. So, with that in mind, should we get the good or the bad first?
Oh, let's do the bad first, right? Isn't
I think
that
that's
how doctors deliver bad news.
I think that's correct. And so let's just sort of go through. For the sake of not rolling on into eternity, what would be the worst? The worst thing for you to see from this season. What would be the most frustrating individual thing? Doesn't have to be one player, but just collective thing.
Oh man.
We wrote out an article as a collective group, as a staff, sort of talking about what we hope to see earlier this week. If you didn't read it. And so, I guess, what do you hope not to see?
What do I hope? Yeah, what does failure look like?
Yes.
Oh, man. I mean, I think that last year was so hard to watch. It was mm-hmm. really hard to watch. The injuries. So, I guess, like, the very worst case scenario for me is Cruz is hurt, Cano is hurt, Segura is hurt. You know, the worst scenario for me is a replay of 2017.
Because I think that's quite fair.
I think, like, and, you know, we never even got to see Drew Smyly throw a pitch. It still makes me a little sick to think about, like, what we gave away for that and what we
yep.
got out of it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So... seeing something like that, like seeing a starting pitcher lost for the season, seeing a lot of our key pieces not be healthy, not be able to compete, seeing this team be like a little thin shadow of what it could be because of things that are not supposed to. Like, if the strategy that they've used fails, it fails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad strategy. Like, starting pitching is expensive. You don't have any in the system. Don't go buy it. Like, try to get by. Trade for it. Try to get by with guys you feel like you can develop and you can maximize the potential of, like Marco, mm-hmm. like Erasmo, and, you know, lean on your ace. So, in a weird way, I kind of feel like this all comes down to, if I think about one player, mm-hmm. I think it maybe comes down to Paxton.
Yeah.
If Paxton can't be healthy this year, I will be heartsick.
Yeah.
And it means bad things for the team, I think.
I would agree. It'd be tough. He's got two more years? Is he a free agent in after next year or the year after that?
I think that's right. I think it's ARB 1.
Yeah.
Did they ARB 1 him this year? They didn't go to ARB, did they? I think he's...
They didn't go to ARB with anybody.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, but I don't...
Okay, he's a free agent in 2021. So he's got this year and then two more after that. So yeah, this is...
And to think that they were worried about bus seats. Fix this, MLBPA. Fix this. James Paxton's going to be 30-odd years old. Oh, my God. Okay. I think having another year of ineffectiveness for James Paxton is
or in, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Modesto Nuts are getting their rings. There's Eric Kalia. Oh. Oh, there's Reggie McClain. Oh, there's Braden. Oh, good job, Modesto Nuts.
Kyle Lewis walking.
Wee! Also, Andrew Romine might have just grounded out, but he also drove Bartolo Colon out of the game. So, with his 10-pitch at bat. So, good job, Andrew. All right, what is
Bartolo applauding himself?
What does failure look like? What's the worst case, darkest timeline for you?
I mean, I think you put it pretty well. Just 2017 again is, it's you know, if they're bad, they're bad, and that is its own sort of, I mean, obviously them being bad sucks, but them being bad likely spurs action and change in a different way, and that would be excellent, because, you know, just if they're any sort of direction that they go, they're, you know, essentially the actions that they've gone through right now indicate that they think that they are going to be better than expected this year, and that they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs this year. And for that to be the case would mean a lot of guys playing well, to the point where simply we would feel differently about the players at the end of this year. So the, you know, the guys on this roster aren't, it's not, there's not going to be another team. The team next year shouldn't be projected for 82 to, you know, 79 to 83 wins again next year. That's basically what would be most frustrating to me, because running the same team out there, thinking, okay, well, this time it'll work if it is a run over, you know, a run back of 2017. I mean, there's
right,
just,
like the Einstein, this is the definition of insanity thing.
Exactly,
right?
Like, exactly.
We'll have run out of chances, I think, if this,
yeah.
If it fails again, we'll have, and I think DePoto will have, run out of chances to say,
exactly,
well, this just didn't work because.
Yes, and it's frustrating because I think, you know, I like a lot of the things that they're doing, especially in the you know, organizational philosophy department. And so I guess what I would like to see, as much as success at the major league level, is steps forward in the minor leagues. And that hopefully is from...
Right, so we're on the failure part. So you have
sorry,
to talk
so,
about
so
what
I guess
failure,
I guess
what
I would say
minor
is,
league failure look
I
like?
Would say the a lack of steps forward from any of the top prospects, and a lack of breakouts from any of the players who, you know, are sort of less heralded, I guess. And breakout doesn't have to be, you know, sudden top 100 prospect, but it does mean
I think some of our guys could slug like 500. they could slash 300, 400, 500 and not be declared top prospect. I mean, not even that. You know what I mean.
Like, I know what you're saying. And but, you know,
they have so far to work up to be respected,
yes,
or to be taken seriously.
Yes.
But I know, like, for example, you're not a mad Joe Rizzo fan. Is that, that's fair to say? You
correct.
Look at him and you see his height.
I see a guy who has good contact skills and not a lot of physical projectability and not great defensive skills at third base and worry about his ability to develop power.
Right, so I look at him and I see a kid who's 19,
mm-hmm,
which I think you do too. Like, this
yes,
is not,
yes. I don't think it's impossible. I
right.
want to say, but yes.
Right, but I think that Joe Rizzo taking a big step forward, I think would be
absolutely.
And I don't, because you expect Kyle Lewis to take a step forward. You expect Carlson and White and those other guys, I don't know if given his physical production and the questions about his game, I don't know if you look at Joe Rizzo, if you're an outside prospect evaluator, and say, that's a guy I expect to take a step forward.
Mm.
So in some ways, I feel like Joe Rizzo might be like the crucible as, can this organization identify, draft, and develop talent? Can they find it in places other people aren't looking, essentially?
I think that is an excellent point. And I think that's, you know, that is a great way of framing it, because there isn't a lot of top-level physical projection in the minors, in the Mariners minors, but there are guys who had MLB projectable skills, and also we've seen recently throughout baseball that there's a lot more that can be developed out of, you know, out of guys who didn't necessarily have the skills that scouts were looking for initially, and because of the advances in scouting technology and in training methods, there are ways, you know, that we're seeing guys break out. You know, I mean, guys like Machaniger, who was always a well, you know, decent tooled guy, but wasn't maximizing. And I mean, Vogelbach's another example of that, who hopefully can, you know, actually make that happen. But no, but I mean, you know, is one of those players who has always had some MLB skill, and Joe Rizzo, I mean, was a top 100 pick because he has some... Well, he was a top 100 pick, right? I'm not making that up. I know he was...
Yes, he was our second round pick in 2016.
Yeah, and I mean, he was that type of guy because he has some great skills. It's just about, can he develop the rest of it? And so, if the Mariners are capable of developing guys in such a way that they are maximizing whatever talent they do have more often than not, that's, you know, that's huge. That's how Cleveland, who has arguably the best minors development in all of baseball, developed a, you know, one of the best rotations in the league out of a bunch of guys who were not all that well thought of in Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar and, you know, whatnot. I mean, you know, guys who were decently thought of, but not, no one expected any of them to be...
Corey Kluber. Exactly. No one expected Klubot. No one saw...
Exactly.
As well-regarded, I think, as Lindor was, like...
Exactly. I mean...
No one...
30 homers last year.
Yeah. No one thought he was going to be that. Yeah. So
it would be pretty devastating to see another year of to see a year of stagnation in the minors.
Yeah, I agree, and I know this is a very shallow way of looking at things, but they had a winning team in 2016 at Clinton. They had a winning team at 2017 in Modesto. Wherever the collection of our... No, did I say Clinton? Not Clinton. Jackson, Tennessee.
Jackson.
Whoa, not... Clinton is very far from that. Clinton was on my mind because of Joe Rizzo. I'll tell you about that later. But wherever the collection of our talent is, I want... And I don't know. I mean, I think that maybe a lot of that Modesto team was Mitch Canham.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever... I want to see one of the minors teams do well and be successful and compete for a championship and maybe win a championship.
I think, well, I will say, if you're a local fan that can't necessarily afford going to the Mariners games all that often, Tacoma is going to be a neat team this year.
Tacoma is going to be a blast for sure.
They're going to have...
If the big club can stay healthy and they don't have to... you know, just
constantly
rate it
shuttle
all the time. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean,
if, like, they don't have kids from... I was looking at one of the reserves for today's game, Austin Hutchison, I want to say his name is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Who pitched last year at the AZL, so rookie league.
Yep.
Modesto,
yep,
AA Arkansas, and AAA.
Yep. Yep. That Nathan Bannister life.
Yeah. Well, Nathan Bannister was just high A, and then they shuttled him up to Tacoma to make starts, yep, where he was impressive. Because, yep, I think, at the very least, Nathan Bannister is good organizational depth.
Yes.
And he has been working on something. I saw him a lot working with Pete Woodward, the minor league, one of the minor league pitching coaches. Mm-hmm. He was just out there every day, strapped to some weird harness, working on something. They're working on something.
Well, are you sure you were supposed to be looking?
Hey, it's right there. A lot happens on the backfield. Right.
You were there.
But yeah, I think winning in the minors, showing player development is still taking a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then just if everyone just absolutely tanks, that's a worst case scenario. You and I are both such natural optimists that I feel like we suck at doing this worst case scenario thing.
Well, I mean, the what I would say is, like, the worst case scenario is probably the team loses like 71 to like 72 games and just like has people get hurt all the time again, because that is, I mean, it's basically 2017, yeah, again, but you know,
yeah, I can't even,
and the minors just don't show anything, because that's just another year of pretty
utility,
hopeless, and not much of a step forward, and that would be really disappointing in a lot of ways, and it would futility is the right,
yeah,
the right word, excuse me.
Yeah, a year where it doesn't feel like we've moved forward at all from last year, would be extremely frustrating.
Yes. So then I guess since we've halfway done it already, What about your best case scenario? Since we've done our best to be gloomy, as gloomy as possible.
We suck at being gloomy, but yeah.
Certainly for Mariners fans, we are poor at it.
We are very, very bad. Okay, so the absolute best case scenario, I think, would have to be Ryan Healy just shuts up all the haters and doubters, and Fangraphs, you know, positional ranks has him at, they have the Mariners ranking at 30th out of all of MLB, which is fair considering what the Mariners first base position has produced.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I would like Ryan Healy to be really good. I think that would be excellent, that they show that. But also, realistically comes later. Whatever. Ryan Healy mashes. He learns how to exercise good plate discipline and gets a lot of pitches he can drive. And, you know, that happens. Vogelbach is an extremely competent backup / platoon partner for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Haniger reaches, you know, everybody basically putting out the projection system said we're low on Mitch Haniger because, but yeah, Mitch Haniger just like destroys those projections. Cano and Cruz and Seager just kind of maintain. Seager bounces back from what I think was a pretty ineffective year for him last year. Oh, and Paxton wins the Cy Young. Yeah. Yeah. And Paxton wins the Cy Young, and Marco makes everyone shut up about the Marco Tyler O'Neill trade, like, forever. Like, forever,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have to be that great. Like, just, like, serviceable. Just be serviceable. Be a serviceable back-end starter, and I think that is probably equivalent. Obviously, we don't know what Tyler O'Neill is going to be, and obviously, I wish him the best. Nice kid, but yeah, just make that trade not look bad.
Kate, I have to interrupt you. Did you see the clip just now of Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, and Bartolo Colon just walking off the field with all their stuff together, having been pulled?
Yeah. Okay. Just buddies. Just buddies going off to, you know, have some tostones together. No, that's a lie, because you can't find anything decent in Arizona to eat, let alone Dominican food. I wonder what those guys eat. I wonder about it so much. I saw that the situational game winner, which was Team Zunino, because of course Mike Zunino hit a walk-off home run, a walk-off grand slam even, to secure the win. So extremely Mike Zunino-ish. But the prize was like Chick-fil-A breakfast. Ooh, Jason Bradford, you nasty. The prize was Chick-fil-A breakfast, and I ran into Braden Bishop after trying to run into or meet Braden Bishop for like the entire week I was at spring training. I happened to go to In-N-Out Burger after a night game, and he was there, and I was like creepily introduced myself to him. And I was talking about the situational game because I'd watched him and Ian Miller bat in the situation. And, you know, it's fun for a lot of the guys, the situational games. Like, they're laughing and they're riding each other. And, you know, it's no different for the prospects when they come up. Like, they were hollering at Ian Miller. And I was just kind of, like, asking about it. And he said, you know, like, for these guys, it's a joke. But for us, it's no joke. Like, this is serious for us. And I said, well, what's the prize? Like, what's on the line? He said, I think it's Chick-fil-A. And I was like, no, Robinson Cano has never heard of a Chick-fil-A. Like, I cannot imagine any of those guys putting that into their bodies. Like,
I mean, the thing is, though, if you're from, like, Florida or, like, pretty much anywhere that's not Seattle, I think Chick-fil-A is pretty standard.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that's
I'd like
more,
never seen one.
Who is cheaping out? Like, was the Papa Shot really that expensive? Like, why are they cheaping out on Chick-fil-A? I mean, I love Chick-fil-A breakfast. It is extremely tasty. Like I say, the hate just makes it taste all the more. Yeah, you and I have gone to Chick-fil-A before.
We did.
Before
that was the first time I'd ever been.
Really? Yeah, because there is a Chick-fil-A in Tacoma, if, you know, if people care, which, oh man, it's so good, but they're so
we're really
so
just
good.
Putting on our
I know, I'm
City
to
of Tacoma tourism board.
But I'm also trying to get like scholar I'm trying to get some supporting, you know, some ad revenue here from Din Tai Fung and
absolutely and Czar. We've got two dumpling spots, and I don't know, Chick-fil-A probably has dumplings, right? The dumpling burger.
Yes.
Dumpling burger
I'm
great.
Sure. I'm definitely sure that that's a thing. Crumbs.
I think that's that is a strong case for a best case scenario, though. I think the best case scenario is, you know, a team that is a 90 plus win team, and probably doesn't win the, you know, probably doesn't win the division, because I just don't see the Astros being bad enough. Like, even if the Astros,
I mean, they could break. Everybody breaks.
Everyone can break.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
and World Series hangover. I know it's so silly to say, but I do think it's a thing. Like, the Cubs were not awesome this year. Like,
no, they were not. Yeah, I mean, I guess I expected the Cubs to be incredible, and the Cubs were fine. But,
they
I mean, the Cubs had 92 wins. So, like,
yeah, they were
I think
really
the
good.
Mariners...
They were really
no,
good.
No, I know what you're saying.
But they
know,
weren't,
there
they
is
weren't
a,
the team that they were in 2016.
It's true.
They weren't
true.
I mean, the Astros were just on... I mean, they were just... They knew that they were close, and they... Mm-hmm. Just had that intensity all season long, and I don't think the Cubs had that.
Yeah, it's.
I think it's really, really hard to be a repeater in today's baseball environment. I think it's really. I wonder if the Giants were the last dynasty team we're gonna see.
Well, they took naps. They took their nap years. They're nappier gappier.
They're nappier gappier. Yeah, I mean, I'm fully aware that somebody is going to, like, take audio of this and replay it when the Astros are, you know, have 120 wins and are World Series champs again.
Hmm. But, yeah, I think there's a team in this team that definitely takes the first wild card and competes for the division.
I mean, if the Angels, this unfortunately, because of the division, a lot of it relies, they can be really good, and it just won't matter if Minnesota is also good, if the AL East is strong, if Tampa Bay, if Oakland, like, comes out of nowhere, like some people are saying, and if, much more realistically, you know, the Astros just kill everyone, and the Angels are what we fear they are, which, having watched them in spring training, I'm not 100% sold that they are.
And I think Andrew Heaney's already having arm problems.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, he
is. Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all just, there is a playoff spot that I don't know where it's going to go. That is out there, and
Twins fans 1,000% believe that that spot belongs to them. I think it's pretty realistic to say that one of those wild cards goes to, I don't know that
the Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah,
whichever
I mean, I don't know. I see some, I think the Red Sox could be felled by a few bad, they could be felled by some bad injuries. I don't know how deep they are.
Yeah. They are of the, like, elite tier, I think the weakest-looking team to me. But, I mean, Cleveland's not amazing, but Cleveland just has a roster, or not a roster, but a schedule full of gimmies in getting to play Chicago and Detroit and the Royals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have to do is beat up on the... They just get to be the bullies, you know. They just get to take everybody's lunch money every weeks at a time.
Yeah.
They get to do that. So, you know, it sucks a little bit the way the schedule is. You can only do so much. I would like to see the Mariners maximize what they can do, which they didn't last year, obviously. And even in 2016, as fun as that team was and as close as they got, there were huge swaths where they just didn't maximize what they could have done.
Right.
So that's, that for me, that's the dream. It's like, okay, maybe it's unrealistic to expect them to win against the Astros. If Ohtani comes on and figures it out and Kinsler and Cozart and Calhoun, like, gets knocked on the head by a frying pan and remembers the player he's supposed to be, and Trout is Trout, and Andrelton Simmons's breakout is for real, you know, I mean, maybe that's hard to compete with, but just, yeah, do what you can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our best case scenario.
It's
do
a
what
tough
you
one.
Can!
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think for all of the frustration of this, it is worth noting, like, there is a very, very good best-case scenario team in this that is a 90-plus win team.
Yeah.
That James Paxton is healthy for a full year and pitches the way he was last year, that
Felix
back
is
to being
healthy
fine,
for a
you
full
know,
year
like,
and fine. Yeah, not
yeah,
dominant,
and,
but fine.
Yeah. And
gets
Mike
you through
Leake is,
five
Mike
innings,
Leake is fine.
Six innings, three earned runs, like something like that.
Exactly. You know, that
Taylor
the Mariners
Motter just went yard.
Hey.
I have to dial down my Taylor Motter hate.
Look at that. Oppo, too.
Oppo. That's impressive.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, and just like a step, one of those guys, one of those more. Or DeYoung or Waylon or Miranda just taking a step forward and being, you know, a solid, you know, fifth starter in a way that they have the potential to be. And, you know, I mean, like you said, Haniger being the guy he was last year or close to it and just being healthy. Segura being the guy he was last year or close to it, and just being healthy, which means, you know, his legs being good so that he can be fully the guy he was supposed to be. You know, I mean, there are a lot of promising signs in there, and it's just, you know, if most of them hit together, then this team will be quite good.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to see that as the likeliest outcome coming off of last year. And it's more frustrating to
Isn't go that into a little bit of gambler's fallacy though? Like
It is. I don't mean that to be correct.
I'm just saying, and I agree with, like, it is really hard to find positivity after a year that was a rough year, and mm-hmm. after an off season that didn't go the way that a lot of us wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is, oh my God, Kirk Nieuwenhuis batted .115 last year with the Brewers.
I don't think he batted that much, did he?
Oh, that is
He
bad.
Says optimistically.
That is so, he is real rough. He is real rough.
31 at bats.
Oh boy. I have not yet learned how to spell his name, and I just won't. I won't do that. Oh,
he's actually been an interesting player.
Look at him. Oh no. Oh, look at him smack a double.
Oh, yeah.
This is the trick. I just have to be super negative about everybody.
I was gonna say it's the Adam Lind syndrome.
Kirk Nieuwenhuis, are you my new Adam?
That
Lind?
Was a bad slide. Oh man,
so rough.
Did you see? I think is that Jerickson Profar at second base. Look at that. Look at his face.
Yeah.
You gotta rewind it.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, I want a gif of that. Man, free Jerickson Profar.
Yeah, sorry. This is, by the way, the audio tips 101. to talk about a video of an exhibition game that no one else can see at the moment.
Watching, yeah. Just, you know, everybody sync this up with the podcast, and you'll be like,
yeah, there you go. Really, this is like a
it's a mystery. This is like
a director's cut.
yes. An annotated, we should do that sometime, an annotated Mariners game.
I mean, we kind of did with that Zunino game, lost.
The one that was lost because all of us freaked out about the walk-off home run. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I think we're going to make a Zunino t-shirt with Breaking Tea.
Oh,
yes. I emailed them today. Yeah, Mike Zunino is good. So if you like that idea, please let us know. So I know that maybe this is something that will sell a little bit. Anyway, back to best case scenarios. Gambler's fallacy.
Yes.
It is hard. Like, it's hard. You've been burned. And I think with Mariners fans specifically, we've been burned so many times over so many years. I mean, we're creeping up. We're on the other side. We're pushing two decades of just futility. Since a playoff appearance, not even anything good happening, not even a pennant, nothing to wave around, you know, sort of the Colts you tried banner or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I totally understand people who are frustrated and just feeling like things are the worst. It's really hard. But I think realistically, if we're talking realistically, yes, it is an aged roster, and it is understandable to expect that maybe Cano is going to be hurt sometimes, maybe Cruz is going to be hurt sometimes. Less so Cruz, because he doesn't have to play the field. I think that expecting this year to look like last year is going to be... I just don't think that's realistic.
I hope so. That's what I will say. I agree with you, and I really hope you're right, because it just would be such a bummer. I mean, it sounds silly, but it just... it wouldn't be the end of the world. It just would be a shame to see a team that has so many interesting and engaging characteristics waylaid by injury again. And, I would like to see more. I would like to see them show something more.
Gordon Beckham. Gimme Gordon Beckham. Gimme Gordon Beckham. Sorry, Taylor Motter. Gimme Gordon Beckham.
the utility man of
yeah.
Chicago's dreams.
You know what? Gimme Gordon Beckham, who has been just reading about his journey a little bit, you know, like he was this first round draft pick, very hot prospect, and he just failed, and I feel sad for him for that, because there was a lot of attention paid to him, and then a lot of attention paid to his failure, and, you know, just him reinventing himself as, like, a utility man, like, playing good defense. I think about that catch he made all the time where he, like, tumbled over the rolled-up tarp or whatever at the end of last season. Remember? You know, like, I know it's just spring training, but if we're going to talk about, like, it's not a realistic outcome, but a dream out. Like, a Gordon Beckham... I could be very on board with, like, a Gordon Beckham redemption story.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
I mean, just... not as much as the Mike Zunino is good. That would be just dreamy. And I think that if we're talking about realistic, like, I think realistically there's a chance that Mike Zunino is good is for real, and we get to watch him play in an all-star game. And honestly, the idea of that just chokes me up a little. Mike Zunino we might this year get to see Mike Zunino play in an all-star game. How cool would that be?
It would be, I mean, yeah.
That would do a lot, even if the season is sucky, that would do a lot to offset my bad feelings about things.
Definitely. It's definitely a possibility, and I think there are so many different ways that things could go really nicely. So hopefully we can just have a few of them in concert. That would be a nice thing, I think. Some nice cluster luck for
cluster
good
luck,
things.
As opposed to cluster the other thing. Yes.
Cluster lousy.
Yeah, that's definitely the rhyme I was thinking of. Good job, John.
So, do we want to just go through a few of our questions here?
Yes, we can. Did you write them down?
I did this thing where I just pulled up the Twitter for notifications and did not do the normal preparation that we do. So if I miss any, I apologize for being sloppy. I see one from here that was recently just addressed from Brittany Bollet at Brittany Bush. Is Mike Zunino good?
Yes. Yes, he is. And I just got an email from the Breaking Tea people. So
yeah?
Yes.
Soon, are we go?
Soon we will have the t-shirt to prove it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, an eye on the website for that, because we will have that. We'll have that up. Probably on the Twitter more frequently than the website, but... We'll make sure that's available, because I know I want to get one.
Oh, I will absolutely buy one.
They will be good either as a real thing or as a very funny, ironic thing.
Shut up! Stop!
Well, but what I'm saying is, either way, it's going to be a great thing to own. You're going to want to own it. You're going to want to be part of the zeitgeist. And probably a good zeitgeist. A bueno zeitgeist, as they say.
No, literally nobody says that. Okay. is Mike Vigneault good? I think we have answered that with a resounding yes.
Yes.
But if you say no, you can go look at his jacks from last night, because they were awesome.
If you say no, you can buy the t-shirt and then just tape the words no, or N-O-T, the letters N-O-T, in front of it. And
you cannot deface our shirt like that. Like, what are you talking? What are you talking about, John? What are you?
I am. This is called marketing 101.
I'm so confused by you. If you think Mike Zunino is not good, like, I don't know why you don't like Joy, but I feel sorry for you. Next question.
All right, next question. This comes from Anthony Sater, at Anthony_Sater on Twitter. If you could have any previous Mariner in their prime, what would your lineup look like?
Oh, my God.
So do you want to go batting order, or do we want to go positional? And I'm thinking we just pick
positional.
A pitcher, and like a starter,
one pitcher.
A reliever.
One pitcher.
Do you want to trade off? We could go back and forth.
All right, sure.
All right,
let's do it.
Okay, I will go first, and I will say Ichiro leading off right field. I mean, I know there are detractions on him as in terms of an offensive player because he was mostly one-dimensional, but he just was exceptional, and he was exceptional to watch and put pressure on other teams in a way that was remarkable to watch, to say nothing of the defensive capability he brings. And I mean, yeah, you know, 60 steals plus threat in his prime, Ichiro.
Nice.
Kate? Who are we putting number two?
Who do we... Because I feel like it should be a speed guy, right?
It could be speed. It could be you could go the best hitter number two in the lineup kind of philosophy.
Yeah,
whatever you're feeling.
Man, I don't know. I might put someone speedy in, and I might be tempted to go. I would feel bad, I guess, if I didn't pick Julio Cruz, just because he's so fast and he stole so many bases. Worth time, but does it? Can I say his bat gets developed by like the current front office?
I think we gotta go prime actual performance.
Okay, so prime actual performance, like maybe when we had Ricky Henderson.
Ooh,
right. I mean, yeah. If I get him at his prime,
you know what? 100%, absolutely, and in fact, he should have been. I should have picked him to lead off, but yeah,
you should have. But you know, I mean, I think an Ichiro Ricky Henderson 1-2 is.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, are we putting him in left field?
I think we should put him in left field.
We'll put him in left field. He's our left fielder then. Interesting. Yeah. We have our right fielder and our left fielder to start off. That's interesting.
Well, number three, then I will go with. Mr. Alex Rodriguez, because much as the Mariners front office is loath to acknowledge him, and I held a grudge against him for much of my childhood, it is pretty hard to argue that there was any better shortstop ever in their prime, probably. And so, just offensively, he's exceptional. Defensively, in his prime, exceptional,
right.
Good base runner, all around the right guy to have there.
Okay, all right, so I gotta go with the kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really another option for the fourth spot.
I would agree.
Yeah, so that takes care of our whole outfield already.
Yeah, we're good there.
Yeah.
We're good there.
Okay.
I'm trying to make sure, because I feel like we maybe are glossing over some, like, ancient guys
or
young guys.
No, I don't think so, though. All right, you have one choice here.
Yeah, it's Edgar Martinez.
Okay. I'm so glad
Big
I
Poppy,
I'm so
Big
glad,
Poppy,
no,
be damned.
Poppy, the original
Well,
Poppy.
No, that's what I'm saying. Big Poppy.
Original,
there's
yeah.
Big Poppy and Poppy.
Big Poppy, be damned. Original Poppy. Original, always best. Just ask New Coke people. all right, good. I'm glad I don't have to beat you up because you're like 5 inches taller than me and I don't know how that would work.
It would be ambitious. But, yeah. So, Edgar Martinez at DH, hitting fifth.
All right, yes. That is the right choice. So, where am I at? Am I at
Now we're getting into some tougher...
Yeah, now things get tough. Now I feel like I am into... We have second base open, right?
We do.
I gotta go with Cano. I gotta go with Cano.
I think that is fair. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is remarkable as a Mariner, but I think even just earlier in his career, some of his best years have been as a Mariner, but yeah, I think Booney was pretty remarkable, but I don't know that. I think if we're talking prime stretch, picking a year out, I think it's tough to say that I think you'd be better served getting a great year out of Cano. Let's see. If we're gonna go to first base, I think is probably where I want to go, because that would leave us with John Olerud.
Oh, nice. Ethan Novak somewhere approves of this choice.
I mean, it just was remarkable. I mean, the guy could play first base defensively, exceptionally. He was outstanding offensively, without much power, still managed to be, not much speed, but just, like a 300 career hitter, almost a 400 OBP, and just exceptional. I mean, exceptional player. As good as, the not that there was much competition, I think, in the first base lineage.
No.
I think that's probably the way to go.
It's my turn.
It is.
We've done the whole outfield.
We have.
Got first and second and shortstop covered.
Yes.
So we basically have third base and catcher left.
Yes. And I think you have a tough choice.
I have a tough choice. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I have a really, really good battle, I think, at catcher.
Uh-huh.
Because Dan Wilson, right? How can you choose anyone other than Dan Wilson?
Well, here's the thing. If we're going anyone that was in the organization and that was a Mariner, I mean... Jason Varitek was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other. This is as much a test of knowledge of arcane transactions.
Right. Sure. Anyone in general, but I think for like the spirit of the exercise, you know what? Like
this, it's your pick. It is your pick. There's no.
You know
nothing,
what?
Nothing for me to...
I'm going to push all my chips in and say Mike Zunino's 2018.
Well, yeah. I mean, peak, he might have had a better... Let me run it into the
I'm
old...
I'm pushing all my chips in the old Mike interwebs.
Wow. That is a big... That's a big bet.
Yeah. I love you a lot, Dan the Man Wilson. You were the catcher of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
And
great.
In fairness, I don't think Varitek ever played an MLB game for the Mariners, so...
Yeah, okay.
What you define
Mikey
that
Z.
as, but...
Mikey Z.
All right, well then I'm going to have to finish with third base, and as much as I love Kyle Seager, it's got to be Adrian Beltre.
Who's batting ninth in our lineup?
Yeah, which I probably could have put him ahead in retrospect of some of the guys, but definitely a strong play there. Beltre just, I mean, you know, a 6-9 win player in his peak.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, was mostly just all of the last 12 years. So, yeah.
Which means we also get to put peak Felix Hernandez on the mound to actually win some of the games.
Are you going Felix over Randy? Because as much as I love Felix, I think I would go peak Randy over peak Felix.
I mean, I think that that's the right choice from a numbers standpoint, but I think that's like, true. From a I picked Mike Zunino to be the catcher standpoint, I picked Felix.
Fair point. Fair
but whatever,
point,
let's
Kate.
Just put them both. Let's put them both on and just continue.
Yeah, put them in the pen. Yeah, all right, who's your closer then? Who's your closer who's coming in to shut it down?
I grew up with Norm Charlton.
Ooh, and you made it, and you made it here.
He's so fun.
He was. I loved me some Sheriff.
Oh man,
I loved me some Jeff Nelson.
But Thunderstruck. At his peak.
Yeah, I think it. Oh.
Hey, you know
that
what?
JJ puts life though.
It's a rough. Cue the Dave Niehaus. Here comes.
Here comes the big fuck.
Walk the world. Yeah. You know what? Peak. Can I take 2016 Edwin Diaz?
I think you can.
Mowing people down, or can I take like the one or two healthy months of Carson Smith we had?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad call. Oh man, yeah. Hey, Gaylord Perry was really good.
Oh man, Gaylord Perry.
It's.
Yeah, I'll take him.
85 years old and was like a two-win pitcher in 1983 for the Mariners. And threw 181 innings and then just said, "All right, I'm good. Like I've thrown 5,300 innings. I've won a little over 300 games. Yeah. I'm gonna give it a rest."
Yeah.
That guy had 100 wins above replacement. Anyways, sorry.
No, I think that's a strong choice.
No, but I think peak Felix or Randy is more fun. Yeah, all right. I think that's a solid team. I think that's a team you could take up against just about anyone.
Oh, yeah. Suck it, 2018 Astros.
Yeah.
Also, Edwin Diaz is pitching against he just struck out Tommy Joseph. The 25-year-old with the 45-year-old face.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was mean. That was just mean looking. Never mind. I want peak Edwin Diaz.
I will take it.
When he is on, he is so nasty. And it's been encouraging to watch him this spring when he finds himself falling out, when he finds that front side flying open. Actually watch him correct it. Yeah, no mound visit needed. Like, he knows it. So, yeah, that's definitely an encouraging sign. Oh, boy, he is about to kill once in 10 out there. Okay.
So, we've got a week before opening day.
Yes.
The next time we talk to you guys, it will be baseball season.
Oh, my God.
We made it. Good job, everybody. We did. Thank you guys all for sticking with us. I mean, it's a long stretch. We do a lot of different stuff to try and make it interesting for you guys. Try and talk with players because I know that we like to try and get you guys some perspectives on what's going on in the league. And in the organization, certainly we enjoy doing that. And sometimes there's not as much to talk about, but I know I'm looking forward to having real live baseball to watch and discuss, and it's just more fun to worry about things that matter.
That are real, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So thank you. Yeah, thank you, everyone. And I if you enjoy what we have done over the off season,
please let us know, because
yeah,
we really only hear about the bad stuff. So
yeah,
it would be like some guy sent me an email asking how he can make sure we never appear in his feeds again, and I was like, dude, I don't. That sounds like a you problem. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if anyone could, I would. We love to hear your praise. That is as naked a plea as I will probably ever make. But
yes.
Please let us know.
Yeah, and if you guys have, please clap. Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, well, we're gonna, you know, we will keep doing this for you guys, because we enjoy doing it. I know Kate and I like having an excuse to get together and talk. You know, let us know what you like, what you'd like to hear more about, we'll try and make sure we find the fun and keep this interesting and informative as the season goes on. So Kate, any final things before we head out?
I hate Juan Centeno.
Excellent. I must agree. All right. Well, this has been the Lookout Landing podcast. I have been John Troopin. That has been Kate Prusser. And we'll talk to you next week.